Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. We've got seven ways for you to look at the good in every bad situation, or how to overlook and overcome the mess,
we might have made.
First, you choose your outlook.
In other words, you choose
your outlook. That's right. Your inward disposition will always determine your outward outlook or reality. That's why we must be grounded in God's Word. We cannot let what's happening around us affect what's living in us. I'm going to say that again because we want to make sure that you got what was just said. It's a life-changing rich thought. We cannot let what's happening around us affect what's living in us.
You know, this morning I was reading Proverbs 31. I always read it in the Classic Amplified Bible since it's the 31st. And it talked about the virtuous woman and how she responds and reacts to situations.
Mm-hmm.
No self-pity.
Right.
No inward second-guessing herself. I thought, wow, it gives you a lot to live up to.
It does. So regardless of the adversity, no matter how messy or seemingly hopeless your situation may be, your answer lies in the outlook.
Amen. Colossians 3, verse 1, the Message Bible. He is your life. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective.
Wow. When we see things from His perspective, we endure everything for the joy that is set before us. Our outlook, our perspective on everything that we're facing should never be subject to or formed by what's happening around us, but rather what's happening in and through us. Orson Sweet Martin, American inspirational author and the founder of Success Magazine, once said, "Your outlook upon life, your estimate of yourself, your estimate of your value, are largely colored by your environment. Your whole career will be modified, shaped, molded by your surroundings, by the character of the people with whom you come into contact every day." Strong statement?
Yes, indeed.
A lot of truth. Second, don't let anybody else's situation affect yours. My circle of friends years ago included some people who like to commiserate people who wanted to hash and rehash the mess they were in. Well, that's not the best thing to do. Not at all. That's not the kind of people you want to have around you. But that circle of friends, my circle of friends now, doesn't include those kind of folks anymore. Toxic talk and attitudes are contagious and infectious. If you've been laid off from your job, don't hang out with other folks who've been laid off as well. It's easy to begin commiserating about how unfairly you were treated. It's too easy to rehearse your hurts, relive your frustration or anger, talking yourself into thinking that things are worse than they are. It's wasted energy that needs to be put toward making things better. The dominant thoughts in our lives will draw similar thoughts like a strong magnet. Third, here are four things you need to get through. Number one, you must acknowledge that you've messed up. And, well, let's face it, if you're alive on planet Earth, you messed up. For some, it's more than a habit. Well, that's more than I have it for others, but no one's exempt.
It's true. Number two, you need to stop living in denial. You can't live in denial. Here's a fitting acronym for denial, D-E-N-I-A-L. First, don't even know I am lying to myself.
Huh, that's a good one. Number three, you need to leave the past behind. If you've been forgiven, you're just that, forgiven. So it's time to get up and stop looking back.
Number four, we need to move on. Exodus 14, verse 15 in the Living Bible says, then the Lord said to Moses, quit praying and get the people moving forward, march.
John, you go.
John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, once said, temptations, when we meet them at first, are as the lion that roared upon Samson. But if we overcome them, the next time we see them, we shall find a nest of honey within them.
That's good.
Interesting.
Fourth, you have to stop dwelling on the bad situations you faced. There are times in our lives when we need to let something or someone go to move on. This can be a rough process. If you care for someone who doesn't care for you, or someone you care about has hurt you deeply. But the truth of the matter is this, and we've said it many times before, you cannot control what other people do, but you can control what you do. We have to get over certain situations, adversities, or even adversaries who want to hold us back from fulfilling God's destiny for our lives. Our trust must be in Him and His Word.
Psalm 119, verse 133 in the New Living Translation. Guide my steps by your word, so I will not be overcome by evil. And another good insight comes from Proverbs 4, verse 23. This in the Message Bible. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where your life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left. Leave evil in the dust.
How do you watch over your heart? It's simple, of what you put in your mind or allow your mind to focus on. Scripture says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
That's right.
Fifth, you have to give yourself a spiritual pep talk.
Maybe more than once a day.
That's true. Did you ever attend a pep rally in high school or college, where the sole purpose of the cheerleaders or the pep squad was to motivate your team spirit? The number one purpose of a pep rally, is to get you involved, even though you'll be sitting in the bleachers during the big game. In the big event, you're not sitting in the bleachers, standing on the sidelines. You are the game.
That's right.
And you need to be your most important cheerleader or pep squad team member. In the game of life, there'll be times when there's no one around except you and the Lord.
Mm.
As a result, you must become your greatest fan, your own pep squad leader. It'll be your responsibility to encourage yourself, but you will have help.
Amen. First, Deuteronomy 3, verse 28 says, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see.
If allowed, the Holy Spirit will strengthen, encourage, motivate you, me, us to even greater levels of accomplishment. But in the final analysis, we must be responsible for our own encouragement.
Second, 1 Samuel 30, verse 6 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, David was greatly distressed, for the men spoke of stoning him, because the souls of them all were bitterly grieved, each man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God.
How do you encourage or give yourself a spiritual pep talk? It's easy. Use the Word of God to motivate you from where you are to where God wants you to be. That's it. Six, you got to roll up your sleeves and do what is, well, whatever is necessary. Some people wonder why they've never been promoted on the job. It's because they just do what's required, never taking the extra step that's going to put them above the efforts of the crowd. If we want to succeed in life, we must always do more than is required.
Titus 3, verse 14, Classic Amplified Bible says, "And let our own people really learn to apply themselves to good deeds, to honest labor and honorable employment, so that they may be able to meet necessary demands whenever the occasion may require, and not be living idle and uncultivated and unfruitful lives."
God wants us to be fruitful, to do more than is required. He wants us to go the extra mile. That's the only way we'll ever overcome every bad situation we face. Seventh, looking through bad situations will bring you an even greater reward. When we show ourselves faithful, when we do not grow weary in well-doing, when we overcome bad situations, when we endure the mess of life, then God will lift us up and set our inheritance before us.
Mm. Galatians 6, verse 9 in the Classic Amplified Bible. "And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and the appointed season we will reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint." The New Living Translation says in part, "We shall reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up." And you know, there's a proverb that we should have thrown in here, honey, that says, if you faint in the day of adversity, then your spirit is weak.
Yep, it does. Not like that. Reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. If you're going through adversity, the only way you lose is if you give up, if you quit. When we endure bad situations, just remember this. When we endure bad situations, God will lift us up and set our inheritance before us.
And I want to throw this in. It's a very important fact. There are people who really want to give up, but they don't know who Jesus is.
That's true.
So it's up to us to come in alongside them and help them to know that there is an answer and there is a way that they don't have to give up.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Hallelujah. Well, if you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. Up at the top where it says, "Sow a seed," just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says, so we ever ask. And until tomorrow, well, and check out this week's 2-minute video, please. Check that out. Always do that. Until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.